and fellow medical writers. Welcome to this special educational session hosted by Guanyin Medical Academy. I am Nisreen Shmerik, your teacher and host for today's interview. I am very excited because this is our first educational session. We are planning on having a series of educational sessions. And today we're going to be talking about advisory board meetings. This is a subject that many of you actually have asked for, and I am very excited that we are making this happening today with our guest speaker. And I'm very excited to have Jenny Pochon today with me as a guest speaker to share her knowledge and experience about this topic. I have her resume in front of me right now, and I can tell you that she has an impressive track record for advisory meeting coverage. A little bit about her background. Jenny obtained her PhD in 2015 in microbiology and molecular genetics from Emory University. And then right after, she started a business, and now she is the CEO of Principal Midvantage Writing. During her career, she attended so many advisory board meetings, including clinical, commercial, drug, and device meetings. She also attended government and regulatory meetings for the FDA, CDC, and the National Kidney Foundation. She provided top-line reports and executive summaries on how new drugs fits into the treatment paradigm for many therapeutic areas, including allergy and chronic inflammation, diabetes, and neurological disorders, to name a few. So yeah, welcome, Ginny, and thank you for accepting our invitation today. And maybe tell the students a little bit about your passion and why do you love advisory board meetings?
So thank you for the introduction. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to be able to talk to everyone who's learning. I feel like my own medical writing career is built on other people offering me advice and encouragement. And when you're a freelancer, sometimes it can be kind of a lonely journey. So it's really good that to have each other and to learn from one another. I mean, advisory boards, that was one of the first deliverables I learned how to write. And I thought, oh, I could do this. Like, this is great. And I think that the challenge of listening to the physicians talk about a new drug or a new compound and how it fits into the treatment paradigm was really nice. And it was a way to get exposure to a wide range of therapeutic areas. Because usually during an advisory board meeting, the discussion is somewhat limited to a certain section of disease treatment, right? Like, you're not learning about every single drug that's approved for an indication. You're learning about how one particular drug is used. And I think that that can be a really nice introduction to a therapeutic area. And so at the time, I had one kid, and so I was able to travel quite a bit because my husband was able to stay home with my daughter. And I had two and I kept traveling. And then now that my kids are a little bit older, I travel a little bit less just because their schedules are more demanding. And I think that that's something to keep in mind is like there can be times where advisory board work works really well for your schedule and works really well for your objectives and for creating balance in your freelance medical writing business in times when they are not helpful. And it's okay to work in a way that works well for you depending on where you are.
Yeah, that's great. I'm pretty sure that our students are going to benefit from this session for sure. As I said, maybe I've been talking to you before that the information about the advisory board meetings is a bit limited, and I feel odd because on one hand, the advisory board meetings are I think they are an important in shaping the healthcare system, making critical decisions and things like that. But also, they can be an important source of income for freelance medical writers. So I feel a bit odd that there is no information out there on how to guide medical writers into how to write them correctly. So that's going to be a great session. I think it's going to be an interesting session. So I have a list of questions from my students here. I'm just going to hopefully we can cover as many as we can. But maybe let's start by very simple questions for those students you say that who has not been maybe introduced to advisory board meetings. So just to let them know, what is an advisory board meeting project and why do we need a writer for them?
Well, advisory boards can have different objectives, but I think in general, it's a meeting where a pharmaceutical company or an interested third party, sometimes it's a medical education company or a foundation, like patient foundation or government body, will bring together a group of people. Sometimes it's physicians, sometimes it's patients. And the purpose is to collect information. And the collection part is really important because it is not, what it is not legally, is a way to pay physicians honoraria to travel to a location and hang around at a golf resort. Like, that's not what an ad board is. And there's actually a lot more regulation now than there was even 10 years ago about what it is that an advisory board has to be. But essentially, it's collecting information. And whether that's on these are our endpoints that we want to explore, and here's our protocol, what do you think? Or we want to market our drug a little bit differently, this is what we were thinking about focusing on, what do you think? Or these are the guidelines and we'd like to change them. How could we go about doing that? It's essentially just information that the company or the entity can't get any other way. It's what I refer to as non-lookupable. Like, you have to talk to the experts, you have to talk to the people who are in the trenches with their boots on the ground to really get the best picture of what's going on.
Right,
I
great.
hope that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. No, it makes sense. So,
Okay.
and as a writer who attends these advisory board meetings, what are the responsibilities for the medical writers?
I would say that your first responsibility is to be a good steward of the relationship that your client has with the advisors or with their client. So if you're there with a medical communications agency and you're representing the agency, it's important that you do a very good job because you are part of the fabric of the relationship that they have with their client, and that's very important. So I feel like that's really your first responsibility is to be a presence that reinforces that positive relationship. So sometimes if I would say that sometimes there's like this well-oiled machine and it's a med comms company and they know exactly what they want. They'll say, here's an example summary. This is exactly what we want. Here's the meeting. And then you go and you produce a version of what they give you. And other times, for example, if you're there and the meeting is held and your client is a logistics company and they barely know what a medical writer is, and you're just kind of showing up, and then you may or may not have been given the therapeutic area until slide review. What you do is you have to just be there and be there for the client and make sure that the client knows that you're a professional, and then you ask the client what kind of report do they need. So sometimes you have a little bit more responsibility for determining the deliverable and figuring out what the client wants than others. But I would say your first responsibility is to support your client and to figure out what kind of deliverable that you need to produce. It's okay to ask questions, but you can't leave that room and you can't start that meeting without those questions answered, right? Like, because otherwise you're really in big trouble. And then I think your second responsibility is to do your best to capture the relevant insights. and to write them up in a way that's useful for the team that's using the report. And whether they're using it as a compliance piece and it has to be very long and very detailed, and they want to know who said what, and you're essentially just not exactly a transcriptionist, but not, I mean, it's just what happened versus a 10 points about key takeaways. Like, it really just depends on what it is that the client needs and what they want. But whatever it is that they want, you should give it to them instead of what you think that they need.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm glad that you have mentioned the professionalism on one hand, and then doing a very good job, because I heard many new medical writers saying that, okay, they got a project, advisory board meeting project, they have to cover this certain therapeutic area, but then they did not did very good job in it. And I asked, why is that? And then I find out that they lack the preparatory step. I often tell my students that this is something that is different than, say, writing a scientific publication or, a regulatory document, because the moment you are assigned to cover this meeting, you should have, a preparatory step before you actually go and cover the meetings. You should know who's talking. You should basically, as you said, maybe build a relationship with the stakeholders, the company, and the professionalism, the people who are sitting there. You should know who they are. You should know their relationship and that kind of thing. You should also ask for a template from clients. And I tend to ask a lot, actually, before I cover meetings, as much information as I can, I can obtain from the client. So that's important. So that is before the meeting. And within the meetings, can you what are your thoughts about or your strategies of note taking? Like, how do you take notes, basically?
I mean, I have my own shorthand, right? So that I use that I've sort of developed over the years. I mean,
Okay.
I it's like that's part of it. I honestly think that you know what you're capable of and you know your strong skills. Like, I am never going to be a regulatory writer, right? Like, I just do not have that level of cross-checking detail orientedness. I run out of stamina with it before the project's done. Like, I know that's not cool to admit either, but it is. It's true. If you are somebody who cannot process information quickly as it is being spoken and take notes quickly, and you don't have a good memory, like a working memory where you can remember what people said to help fill in the blanks for at least a day afterwards, it might just not be your deliverable. Like, another thing that is terrible that I'm really bad at is needs assessments. I know people who crank those things out so quickly and they think it's so much fun and they can learn about a brand new topic and crank them out. I end up making $12 an hour when I do it. I mean, it's awful. I can't stop. Like, I'm a researcher and it's never like I can't just get it done. I start getting like deeper and deeper and deeper, and next thing I know, I've written two sentences and I've already logged the time. Like, and so for that reason, I think do a couple, but if you went to the meeting and you don't like this messy human part of it, right, where you're trying to figure out what on earth people are getting at, and you don't like to, or you're not good at processing information and writing it at the same time, then it just may not be your deliverable. Do you know what I mean? Like, or
Yeah, it
probably
makes sense.
stresses you out. Like, this may just may be the thing that you want to do.
So yeah, you've mentioned that it might be you have to be a good you have to have a good memory for it. But I've noticed that after COVID, there's a lot of meetings that are maybe recorded, and some of the meetings that I covered, I have the audio for them, and then the transcripts and everything. So wouldn't that make the meetings covering easier? Because if you don't, say, attend the meeting, but then don't remember exactly the points, but then you can go back to the recording and then you can, it's kind of a backup for you. So what is your perception about recording the meetings these days?
I don't. And it's sometimes company policy, but I don't find recordings to be helpful because they take 8 hours to listen to, and I already sat in the meeting for 8 hours. And so for me, if I spend the hours traveling to the meeting, sitting in the meeting, and then flying home, and then writing, that is good pay.
Right.
If I also have to log another 8 hours listening to audio, it's not good for me. Like, it doesn't, the finances don't work out. So for me, from a business perspective, unless I have to go back, and at that point I can use my notes as a guide to quickly find what I need, right? Then that's like, if I know I'm looking for like this area in my notes where I'm not quite sure what happened, and I know where it happened in the day, and I can go through and find it on the recording if there is one, then that's helpful.
Right.
Some people, I've heard new writers in particular, they re-listen to the entire recording, and I'm not able to do that. And I don't think that I would cover advisory boards if that was something that I had to do. Now, with government meetings where you're like every single word needs to be included and every single thing, because you're not writing a summary, you're writing a report, that's different. But if that's part of the deliverable, it needs to be budgeted in for your time. Because I like advisory boards because they break up the routine for me, right? Like, I'm not at home all the time at my desk. I get to go out and interact with my peers and meet new people, but it's also worth it for me financially. And when that goes away, I kind of lose interest, which I know is like maybe not fashionable to say, but I think that it's really important. If you're spending more time on the deliverable, then maybe it's not something that's like your strongest skill set. And I think that's okay, but I would say it's very rare for me to go back into the recording. Occasionally, if it's a virtual meeting and the recording is short, if it's a couple of hours, then I'll go back and reference it. But generally not. No. I generally don't use the recording. A transcript, if a company has a meeting and provides a transcript, that's different because I can read a transcript a lot faster than I can listen to your recording. So I actually will tell clients if they say, "Oh, I have a recording, you can listen to it and write the report," I'll tell them, "I actually have the way that I do this is I budget a medical transcription company to transcribe it for me, and then I write from that."
Yeah, I can understand the challenge of the recording because I have covered a few of those from purely recording, and it's a challenging because sometimes you're not in the meeting. You like how would you produce an accurate report when you're not in the meeting, knowing who's talking and who's responding, right? So you should know these informations or as much information as you can if you receive just a recording. Some mid-coms agencies works that way. They send me just the recording, but I would say it's a different, totally different experience than from attending the meeting itself.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how long it is. Like, I'm a lot more inclined to listen to a 2 hour recording than an 8 hour one. But if I listen to it, I take notes like it's live, and then I write the report from the notes. I don't listen to the recording like, you know, when you do it sometimes and it's like you listen to it and then you stop and then you write and then you listen to it and you stop and you write. Well, then when you do it that way, then what happens is you get 5 or 6 points down the line, and you realize that the conversation's taking a turn, and you don't need anything that you just wrote down. And so I feel like just taking good enough notes and listening carefully and intently. And then when you go back, you can then write up the report because you know where the conversation ended up in the end. For example, a few advisors may say that the ideal patient for a certain treatment has qualities X, Y, and Z. And so that's why the inclusion criteria should include X, Y, and Z. But then they talk a little bit about how that might be too restrictive. And then they talk a little bit about doing something else, and then this, and then that, and then you end up with one sentence from an hour's worth of talk where everybody agrees. You don't know that until they get there. That's why I don't like to spend too much time in the recording, is because eventually you could end up somewhere different from where you start.
Yeah, exactly. I can relate. Totally agree. Let's see. Next question. So as a writer, your job has to be creating an objective report that is not influenced by emotional feelings, right? So sometimes I cover meetings and I find the discussion very interesting. Like, say I cover, say, 5 meetings in a row, and by the, say, third or fourth meetings, you become an expert, and sometimes you may agree or disagree with the speakers, right? And maybe sometimes, for the sake of curiosity, in the breaks, you ask them questions to clarify things. But I often tell my students, you should not be influenced by your feeling. You should just capture what happens in the meetings, like what those people want from those people. You don't get in between, right? So, what are your thoughts about this? Have you find yourself deviating from objectivity, and how do you deal with that?
If I have a problem with the way like a company is conducting themselves, or maybe I don't agree with what they're doing on an ethical level, then I stop working with them. I would say, and then once I stopped working with a company because I got bored. I mean, it's like if you're too bored to do a good job, like let's say that you cover 15 meetings on the exact same topic. And you find yourself kind of tuning out because you're like, blah, 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 I know. And then that is when it's important to be very disciplined. But as far as my own opinions about what should be done, I don't really have a hard time backing up from that because it's just, to be totally truthful, like an advisory board doesn't give you near the depth that you need to really have a full idea of what's going on. Like, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes of the company. We don't know what's going on with our pipeline. We don't know if there's been some other experience in the past that they're drawing from. Like, you don't have a very complete picture. It's like going to Thanksgiving dinner at someone else's family and then thinking that you understand everything about them. Like, you can't really know. In instances where I do know something that may be helpful, like for example, if I'm aware of a patient foundation that no one has mentioned, I will mention it to my contact at the meeting and say, you know, I actually ran across this foundation recently. They might be something to look into. If I think that I know something that could be helpful, I'll share it. But as far as like this is a better idea or this is what you should do, no, I only write down what the advisors tell them because that's why I'm there. And quite frankly, like at this point, I have a lot of experience and I have worked with companies doing consulting, and my rates are very different for that. And so I'm like, if they want my opinion, then I feel like they should pay for it. And
Oh,
then
yeah.
I can do the actual research and what's needed to offer it to them in a way that's meaningful for us both. Right. So no, I keep myself out of it. Because yeah, I mean, you just don't know. You have no idea what's going on. It's such a narrow piece of the pie. So, but yes, I would say that if you find yourself going to advisory boards and finding it difficult to step away from your own interactions with the information, just remember that when you are doing this, you are no longer a scientist who knows how to write. You are a writer who understands science, and your job is to show up as a service provider for writing.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Yeah.
It's not a fun transition. I struggled with it for a long time. But if you want to be involved in scientific advising, then you need to take the steps to go that direction.
Yeah, no, yeah, thank you for that. That's a very valuable advice.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't sound like too cold or calculated, but yes, I mean, if you have the experience and you're interested in commercial strategy or you're interested in pipeline development, go find people who are consultants in that area and pick their brain about how it is that they do what they do and get involved,
Right.
right? But don't make yourself miserable by sitting in the back of an advisory board meeting and getting all wrapped around the axle, you know? Like, go do what it is you're meant to do, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a good advice. Thanks. So next question, from one of our students. Oh, advisory board meetings is confidential, right? In nature. And
Absolutely.
I read your blog article about that confidentiality of an ad board in your website. And we're gonna make sure, of course, to share your contact information with the students at the end for anybody who is interested in reaching out. But so what is your advice to that you will give writers in that regard about confidentiality?
You should just not talk about it. I mean, I think that it's you, again, like you don't know what's most important not to keep to yourself, right? You don't know what's most important to keep quiet, so you shouldn't make a judgment call about it. And it's important to disclose any possible conflicts of interest that you have, and it's important to keep your files in a secure place. Like, don't go leaving a bunch of stuff on your computer's desktop. Right, like, and then be surprised if the client wants to look over your shoulder and then they see five PowerPoints from another client. Like, that's not a good look for anyone. And so, keep yourself organized and keep your just keep it quiet. If it's confidential, it's confidential.
Yeah, great. So I think we're running out of time, but maybe a couple more questions and then we wrap up. So, we live in the AI era right now, and I'm not sure what of your perspective about using an AI in meetings, or have you used any AI tools in your medical writings projects?
I don't use it. I find it to be more frustrating than anything else. I, again, like, this is my thing. Like, I am really good at this. Like, I'm good at listening and taking notes, and I like it and I enjoy it. And I feel like right now, maybe one day it'll be better. I feel like right now, AI is a bad intern, and it's frustrating and it gets in my way. And I also don't think that most of the companies I work with don't want the meeting recorded anyways. So,
Yes, I mean AI. I used AI maybe for brainstorming, but definitely not for fact checking. And I'm not aware of any AI tool that is, you put something in and then you summarize the whole meetings. I'm not aware of that, but maybe there is some AI tool that can do that. I don't know, but that's AI is kind of scary right now.
it can summarize it, but you know what? AI is really bad at doing the thing that makes an advisory board summary good, which is making decisions and value judgments about what people mean versus the words that come out of their mouth, right? It's really bad at deciding that, and it's bad at contextualizing information. And so it's just, it doesn't, I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't decide things very well. So if I put a transcript, because I've tried, I've put a transcript into ChatGPT and been like, what do you think, ChatGPT? And then it'll say something and I'll kind of go, way to go, Captain Obvious. Like, that's not even helpful. And occasionally it'll use, and it picks words that don't make sense. It picks these really flowery adjectives when it doesn't make any sense. And so maybe at some point it will be very good at pulling out key ideas, but it's not very good at taking into account the human element, which is really important, it turns out. So I
I
don't
mean,
know. Right now I'm at work.
yeah, I mean, at the end, it's a learning model where you plug in information and it learns as it goes. But yeah, I don't trust it 100% now, especially in fact checking and summarizing things accurately.
No, I
Yeah.
guess I do use it from time to time if I get a giant list of disclosures or a giant list of something that's not technical in nature. I'll plug it in into ChatGPT and go turn this into a paragraph, but
Right.
then I cross check it because it's not always right. Again, it's like an intern. You pretend like you
Yeah.
just hired kind of an intern who doesn't really know what's going on, and
Yeah,
then you can talk.
some clients worries about the confidentiality aspects of it because it's a stored information, but you don't know where, and yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, I don't use it. I like doing what I do, and so I just do it, and then I don't really think too much about it.
Yeah, maybe a last question. So if I am a freelance medical writer interested in advisory board meeting projects, how do I find the clients? What's your advice on how to start?
Pretend like you are working at a company and you are hiring someone to put on an advisory board for you, and then contact those companies and let them know that you're a writer and that you are interested in covering meetings and you would love to help them if they need your help or something like that. I mean, I think that this is a really good time of year to reach out in the fall because what happens is that people kind of get sort of this. The conferences in the end of the year pile up and like things just pile up, and then they always need a little bit more manpower close to the end of the year. It's a good time. But yeah, and honestly, like any marketing with freelance businesses, I would say that you reach out to people and you offer them help in a very short email and make sure that you learn about the company before you do so that it's a personalized note. Because you won't hear back from everybody, but you may. And then I think just to do it, it's really hard. Finding clients and keeping clients is really not the easiest part of it. But what you'll find is that the more that you reach out to people, I hear back from people that I met 3 years ago. You know, it builds on itself over time. So it's really frustrating sometimes when you're, I remember when I first started out, oh my goodness. But it's still, some of those people I made connections with in 2017 will occasionally reach out and go, hey, are you still writing? You're still with the way that you present yourself and the way that you interact with people, the way that you offer your services to them now will pay dividends 10 years into your medical writing career. So it's important to do that with integrity.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think we have 3 minutes left. So I guess thank you so much for sharing your with us today. I'm pretty sure that the students will find the information very helpful. And
Okay.
maybe last thing, if somebody wanna, in case the students wanna follow up with you or reach out to you, where can they find you?
I'm on LinkedIn, so they're welcome to message me through LinkedIn. And then I can, you know, I think you have my email address for your students. You're welcome to provide that to them if they want to reach out. But yeah, I think advisory boards are a nice way to introduce variety into your business and a good way to learn about new subject areas. But it's really important to make sure that you have the skills that you need and that you like it. I mean, if getting on an airplane and flying somewhere and interacting with a client makes you want to cry, then you shouldn't do it. Like, do you know what I mean? If it fills you with dread, then it's not the right thing. I mean, I think the beauty of freelance medical writing is there are so many areas, many of which you have no idea even exist when you first start out. And so the more that you write, the more that you meet people, the more you'll find the type of deliverable you're really good at that brings satisfaction and leaves you feeling invigorated and happy with your business.
Right.
Advisory boards can be a part of that, but they don't have to be. But yeah.
Yeah, it's and it's the joy of continuous learning. That's what I like about it. Yeah,
Yes,
thank you
absolutely.
so much. Thank you so much for coming and making yourself available today. Thank you.
Yes.